Chapter 10. In many countries around the world, people struggle just to survive economically. I even know a few people in America who believe they too are struggling to survive economically and in other ways. I know it may come as a shock to the American elite, but people in other countries, even the third world, the other side of the tracks, have eyes and ears and instincts and opinions and sources of information, both honest and dishonest. They are not all servile morons. Occasionally, they can connect the dots. Sure, they have a load of propaganda, ours and theirs, to sift through, but increasing numbers of them are beginning to develop an opinion about just who is behind all the chaos. After all, there is only one superpower left standing, right? There is really only one nation going around the world inventing reasons to blow up anyone opposing its agenda. I suspect the eerie similarity between the British Empire and the New World Order has not escaped all of them. Millions, maybe billions, of them have had about enough. They have been known to actually use their newfound democracy to vote in regimes decidedly unfriendly to American interests, despite the best efforts of GE, GM, ADM, or the CIA. Some have even resorted to violence against American interests, the ultimate ambiguous catchphrase. Anyone with the audacity to use violence against the interests of the United States is, of course, immediately labeled a terrorist. Only the United States is morally justified to fly over other countries and drop computer-guided bombs from 10 miles up in the dark of night on a people who may or may not have indoor plumbing. Once American interests have a financial stake in a foreign land, they will go to any lengths to protect their gains, no matter how ill-gotten they may be. Enter the power brokers of the United States government, corporate lobbies, the corporate shareholder, the actual interests of the United States, and ultimately the American military.